Test. Testing. Test. Test. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Testing. Test.
Abood?
He was originally, he was in the medical MRI.
Test.
Now he's into computers. Well, he still has that. He now has a file company.
What does that mean though?
He owns me.
Test.
When you sort of put that in.
Keep it going.
Allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Yeah.
Oh, he's naked.
Yes.
I wouldn't consider him naked. The Bureau of Seabright, in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, has provided the time, date, and location of this meeting in at least two designated newspapers, published the same in the Asbury Park Press, the official newspaper, filed it with the clerk, and posted notice on the bulletin board in the borough offices. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We have a roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Here.
Steve here.
Right here. Chairman Cunningham?
Here.
DiGiulio?
Here.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
Here.
Councilman Lexstein?
Here.
Mayor Long? Absent. Schwartz?
Here.
Knott? Absent. Smith?
Here.
Duffy?
Here.
McGinley? Absent.
Eight minutes. Okay, we're skipping ahead to the condemnation redevelopment investigative report. Investigation report.
Okay. Just, Mr. Chairman, if I may, before we ask our planner up here, I just wanted to, I did send the board kind of an overview of what we're here for, but for the public also. The governing body has authorized the planning board to undertake a preliminary investigation as to whether or not certain designated sites or certain areas in the borough of Seabright constitute a redevelopment area according to the criteria set forth in the statute NJSA 40A-12A-5. The board has retained Christine Capone, Capone Consulting Group. She and our partner Justin Osiello are here to assist with the investigation and the preparation of the report. The report has been prepared, has been distributed to the board. It's on the website. It's been distributed and available for the public. And there, if you recall, there were several different areas in the borough that we were looking at for areas in need of redevelopment. I think it was November, but back in the fall, we had the hearing on the downtown properties, reviewed that, and made a finding accordingly. Tonight is the area that we're calling the Shrewsbury River properties. So the role of the board is to review, listen to the testimony of Ms. Cavan, Mr. Osceola, who's going to opine, and review the report that you've all had, and determine whether to make a recommendation to the governing body as to whether the area as designated or any part of it is an area in need of redevelopment. The governing body is then responsible for implementing a redevelopment plan, carrying out any redevelopment projects that may be, taking the next steps. A delineated area may be determined to be an area in need of redevelopment if, after investigation, any of the following conditions are found to be within the delineated area. And Christine's going to go over it too, but it's whether the generality of the buildings are substandard, unsafe, unsanitary, dilapidated, obsolescent, or possess any of those characteristics, or is so lacking in light, air, and space as to be conducive to unwholesome living or working conditions. B is the discontinuance of the use of buildings previously used for commercial, manufacturing, industrial purposes, the abandonment of such buildings, or the same being allowed to fall into a great state of disrepair, as to be untenable. Land that is owned by a government entity or unapproved vacant land that has remained so for a period of 10 years, and that by reason of its location, remoteness, lack of means of access to developed sections, portions of the municipality, topography, nature of the soil, is not likely to be developed for private capital. Areas with buildings or improvements by reason of dilapidation, obsolescence, overcrowding, faulty arrangement or design, lack of ventilation, light and sanitary facilities, excessive land coverage, deleterious land use, or obsolete layout, or any combination of those factors are detrimental to the safety, health, welfare, morals of the community. A total lack of proper utilization of the areas caused by condition of title, diverse ownership of the real properties, or other similar conditions which impede land assemblage and discourage the undertaking of improvements, resulting in stagnant, unproductive condition of land that would be potentially useful and valuable for contributing to and serving the public health, safety, and welfare, and which condition is presumed to have a negative social or economic impact or otherwise detrimental to the safety, health, morals, or welfare of the surrounding area or community in general. An area in excess of 5 contiguous areas where buildings or improvements have been destroyed, consumed by fire, demolished, altered by action of storm, fire, cyclone, etc., other casualty, in such a way that the assessed value of the area has been materially depreciated. G, determination that an urban enterprise zone has been designated for purposes of tax abatement program. And H, the designation of the delineated areas consists with smart growth planning principles adopted pursuant to law or regulation. So the report that was created really by Christine, but it's your report, the planning board report. That investigation includes a map which shows the boundaries, of the redevelopment area, the location of the parcels. As you know, a public hearing is required for all interested parties. Christine's going to present her findings, which the board will then review, discuss, and it'll be open to the public. After the public has, offered their comments, the board can make changes to the report, vote on the report, and changes, if any, its recommendations to the governing body. Just so everyone knows, the board does not declare the area to be an area in need of redevelopment. That's up to the governing body. The board makes the recommendation to the governing body based on whether any of the criteria that I just read at a rapid rate has been met. So the role of the board is to determine if the areas in question meet any of those criteria set forth above. It's then up to the governing body to adopt a resolution determining that the area is an area in need of redevelopment. The governing body can accept, reject, or modify the report, the areas under consideration, and reach its own conclusions. It's not up to the board to decide if this is the best path to follow. It's just up to the board to determine whether the designated sites meet those criteria. Okay, so, Mr. Chairman.
Probably ought to step in. Let the record show that Mr. Duffy is stepping down because he owns a property within 200 feet.
Okay, very good. Sure. You want to call Ms. Cavan?
Ms. Cavan, please.
I'm going to swear you in, Chris, just because you're going to. Come on. It's always good practice. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And if you just state your name and spell your last name for the record.
Christine Nazaro, N-A-U-Z-A-R-O. C-O-F-O-N-E. Business address is 125 Half Mile Road, State 200, Red Bank, New Jersey. Good evening, Chairman and members of the board. I am a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey. I have about 23 years of planning consulting experience, and we thank you for selecting our firm to prepare the redevelopment study. And you know, we were also the firm that did the downtown study. So I just want everybody to be acutely aware of what we are here doing tonight and sort of what we're not here doing tonight. This is absolutely not a development approval or the deciding of what this property will be utilized for. So if you have thoughts on if it should be used for residential, commercial, how high and tall that can be, what intensity, those are great thoughts, and we'd love to hear them at some future point should we get to that. But tonight's plan is really to just talk about, does this area, which we refer to in our study as the Shrewsbury River property under construction, as Ms. Higgins indicated earlier, we referred to our previous study that we did in November of 16 as the downtown properties. And that's just a way for us to just orient the area that we were studying and sort of keep them segregated. So the areas are the Shrewsbury River properties, and what our firm was engaged in was just looking at those properties to see if they met the statutory criteria that Ms. Higgins was kind enough to read into the record. And again, that statutory criteria comes from any municipality looking to invoke the redevelopment statute in their municipality. It's not, you know, not your language here in Seabright, and it's not our practice planning language at the consulting group. It's a pretty rigid statutory criteria that anybody wanting to do redevelopment is sort of governed by, and I see the mechanics really that we work under for those studies. So that just gives a real 5-minute primer on redevelopment and where we are in the process. So we are on the Shrewsbury River properties. We're just in the investigation phase. Should the borough decide to move forward with this and the governing body adopt the redevelopment investigation, there will be subsequent hearings to develop a plan that looks at the uses. So we're really in our infancy here. So what we did in preparing for this, and this, this area that we're studying is, of course, along the Shrewsbury River. So intuitive us to make creative us to call it the Shrewsbury River properties, because the lion's share of the properties are actually right on the Shrewsbury River. They are bound by River Street to the north, and Surf essentially to the south marks pretty much the area that we see.
Let me interrupt you one second. Bob, we're within the 200-foot zone for your house, so you're going to need to step down. I'll let the record show that Mr. Knott made it to the meeting and is stepping down for the first part of the meeting.
But we do need you for the second part.
No.
Oh, we don't?
No.
No, he's out.
Wait.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Chris, sir.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kristen.
That's okay. No, he's okay. He's okay.
So we, in preparing for our study, what we did was we did a number of things. We looked at the historical planning documents here in the borough. And when I say historical planning documents, we're talking about maps going back to 1989 and even earlier, so that we as a firm could get a handle on what the borough's vision for this area was and how the area was performing in relation to the goals and objectives in the master plan. We reviewed, of course, the sanitary recovery plan that the borough did. So those are some of the things that we looked at to get a more global understanding of this. Then what we also did was we went and we did a site-by-site photographic analysis where Justin and I, we both were out there on some days. Most recently, I was out there on one of the nights. It was freezing. I was certain I was going to be standing like a police this night and have to call one of you because I was circling. I'm like, somebody is going to call the police on me. Because we just wanted to make sure, you know, this study has been in our office for a while, and you wanted to just make sure it's fresh and current. So I actually, about 6 weeks ago, went out and reevaluated all the pictures just to make sure that everything was, you know, as we said it was in our report. In addition to that, we also look at the property tax records. And why do we look at them? Not because, you know, we're curious, but we want to look at, as Ms. Higgins read through the record, underutilization of properties is one of a way one way to look at, you know, if a property is valued at X and it's paying very little in taxes and the structures on it are generating very little in revenue, but yet it's zoned for commercial development, that might be something that would pay, you know, to us as planners, wow, that's a really unbalanced ratio. Perhaps that property could be doing better to conform and to stabilize the tax base here in Seabrake since it is zoned commercially. So those are some of the things that we look at to base the point, you know, to our conclusion and say, you know, there are visual inspections, we look at property code violations, and we look at the borough's planning vision for the area, and then we look at the utilization ratios and the tax records of the property. And our firm, in the report, goes through that on a pictorial and graphic analysis, on a lot-by-lot analysis of the plan. So, generally, the criteria that we relied on in the plan were criteria A, B, D, and E. So criteria A is the generality of buildings are substandard, unsafe, unsanitary, dilapidated or obsolescent, or possess any of such characteristics or are so lacking in light, air, or taste as to be subject to working or living conditions. So if you had an opportunity to go out and look at some of the properties, you know that quite a few of them would probably qualify for that. Also, criteria B, which talks about the discontinuance of the use of buildings previously used for commercial, manufacturing, or industrial purposes, and the abandonment of these buildings. We relied on that one. And we relied on criteria E, a growing lack or total lack of property utilization of areas caused by conditions of title, diverse ownership, or other conditions resulting in a stagnant or not fully productive condition of land. So those were the dominant dominant criteria that we relied on. The statute does not require that every single property in the area, that you want to study meet one of the criteria that we rely on or any of the others. It goes A through H in the criteria. There's a mechanism in the redevelopment law that allows included, the inclusion of which is found necessary with or without changing their condition. So there was one property on River Street, I believe in Lot 11, that we felt did not really meet. It's an occupied property. You know, we're not calling anybody other's being ugly, so we don't want to say the structure was very unattractive, but it certainly lacks curb appeal. If you want to find a nice way to say that we found a lack of curb appeal on the property. So we did include, if you have an opportunity to look at your map or your legend for the properties in the area under construction, you can see that not including Lot 11 and Block 15, which is at the top, it's the northernmost block in the study area. If we didn't include that, what would it require us to do is have some of the gerrymandered lot line approach to our redevelopment area, which we thought was the less desirable alternative. And in a study of this size, we don't believe that potential to include this property when so many of the other properties were really what we would consider from a planning point of view, textbook properties for inclusion in a redevelopment study. Both Justin and I thought that was the most appropriate way to include it, and we didn't feel that there was going to be a problem including it as such. So that's really the only property that we didn't define one of the redevelopment criteria to, but yet included in the plan anyway. So to conclude,
just to tell the board again, so I read to you, and Chris also said she told you the criteria that, you know, we look at the other properties, but not every single property, as Chris just said, has to meet that criteria if the property itself may not be detrimental to the health, safety, or welfare. But if it's inclusion, like if it's in the middle of an area that needs redevelopment, and if you didn't include it, it would impact the effective redevelopment of that area in which it's a part, then it gets included. So Chris said that, but I just wanted to.
Right. And so if you're following along and you pick up a copy of our study from the borough or you have it in your comments, go through the statutory criteria on page 9 of our report. That's why I was just asking Justin what page it's on because I don't have.
Right.
My mine is our sloppy piece. Mm-hmm. So, It's on the bottom of page 9 in your report.
And 10.
At 10, right? 9 and 10. So those are the statutory criteria. So if you wanted to go back and read them and understand a little bit more that concept and where in the statute we find that mechanism, that's where it is. It's neatly identified in the report. So in conclusion, based on our field work, a review of the planning documents, as well as the historical master planning documents, together with the recovery documents here in Seabright, a review of the site-specific field inspections and the property data for the property, we unequivocally feel that we can, in good faith and conscience, recommend this area that the governing body here in Seabright designated as an area in need of redevelopment. And we certainly look forward to assisting with coming up with a great plan for that area. It's a wonderful area in Monmouth County. It's a gateway to places in the Jersey Shore. And I think great things are happening in the borough now. It's great 3B Fit is moving into a bigger space. Lots of great restaurants opening up. So, our beach club season is almost on us here, which is always exciting. So lots of great stuff going on in the borough. And I think that this is only going to help continue to move the recovery efforts that we've seen along so far in the borough. And again, we are going to unequivocally recommend and find in our study that this area be recommended for development.
Individually?
Yeah, just let me run through it, Chris. On block 13, lot 13, which is 31 New Street, you reviewed that. It's a 0.27 acre property, vacant, overgrown, and I think your report on page 14 indicates that it meets criteria E of the LRHL.
Yeah.
Okay. And block 13, lot 14, which is 50 Church, it's a half an acre, standing frontage on Church and Front and Shrewsbury River.
That one we have E as well.
Right, it's mainly vacant, has a one-story structure.
Right.
And you have that as E also?
And B.
Okay. And as you can see, the photos, it does have a building.
Right.
Assigned that. And then block 13, lot 15, which is for Front Street. Again, I think it's half an acre. It's frontage on both Shrewsbury River and Front Street. It's mainly vacant. It has, mixture of stuff. It has a bulkhead. And again, you've assigned that to be criteria E. Is that right? You need my report?
No.
Yep. And I think you apply criteria E on that.
Sorry, was block 15?
Block 13, lot 15, for Front Street. Page 18? Right, or then you flip to page. Yeah. Then on page 20, we have block 13, lot 18, which is 10 Front Street. That's got a vacant two-story structure. In the front portion, it has a grassy area, bulkhead, that was you.
Yeah.
And you've also determined E and D on that one?
E, A, and D.
Oh, E, A, and D, I'm sorry.
That's the generality of buildings are substandard. And then D is area buildings by like dilapidation or obsolescence. So we need that.
In block 13, lot 20, which was 42 Church Street. It's a 0.045 acre, rectangular. That's got a vacant two-story residential structure, some ancillary structures in the rear, and you also assign that with
E, A, and D.
E, A, and D. Okay. Block 13, lot 21, which is 40 Church Street. That's a two-story residential structure and some ancillary structures also. And you have assigned that to E, A, and D also?
Yeah, that was boarded up as well. You see the structure on there, boarded up.
Okay.
E, A, and D.
And block 13, lot 28, which is 38 Church Street. Easy for me to say.
Block 13, lot 22?
Yep.
38.
Right, that's predominantly vacant that has a structure on it. And you have assigned that to criteria E?
Correct.
Well, you felt criteria E is applicable, I should be saying.
Yes, criteria E.
Block 14, lot 12, which is 21 Church Street. That's got frontage on Church, obviously. It's
right.
A light industrial property. The structure was demolished this year, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to include that one as well, but the structure has been demolished. So we just noted that.
Right. So even though that, and that's what we were talking about before, that even though the structure on that property, that which was in a poor condition due to the storm, Hurricane Sandy. It, right, even though the structure's been removed, it's included because it's central to the redevelopment area, and to not include it, you couldn't develop that redevelopment area without it.
And the statute allows for that.
Yes.
You know, that's not an uncommon problem, and the whole mechanism there is because you don't want your area, when you're planning for an area or the recovery of an area, you don't want to conflict with streets. So if we leave that out, that one particular property leaves us with an island or a border of the property that's not there.
And block 14, lot 14, which is 16 South Street, that has mainly asphalt and some overgrown areas, a single-story garage, multiple bays. You have assigned each criteria E, A, and D as being applicable.
Yes.
Lot 15, lot 5, 6 River Street. Property actually received some violation notices from the Borough Code Office back in 2014.
Yeah, so our report reflects that.
And you have the photographs which clearly depicts the property and criteria D?
Yes, A and D.
A and D, sorry. Block 15, lot 8, 9 South Street. That's rear storage areas for, it services block 15, lot 5.
Yeah.
A garage door that opens onto South Street. It's adjacent to the municipal alleyway. You have some photographs of that also.
Yeah, we use E, A, and D there as well.
Okay. And your report really goes into detail as to the reasons
behind
it. Yep. And, block 15, lot 10, 15 South Street, that has garages, light industrial uses. That's one of those that's in not too bad a shape, but it did have part of the.
It did. And again, if you look at, as I was saying before, when we got the property tax information, we did put that information in our report.
Right.
So anybody reviewing it, any interested party, would be able to see the same analysis that we did to look at the utilization ratios. So those numbers are actually in the report of the study. And we use the A and B on that as well.
Okay. And block 15, lot 11 that you were talking about earlier.
That was one that had the building on it. It's not vacant, but we used section 3 for that one as well. So we didn't assign a criteria to that because we felt, again, you can see the picture on page, I have it on page 41. So if you have a different version, we'll be around that. But, you know, the building on it, again, it's not a terrible structure, but it certainly does lack a little bit of curb appeal. So we probably should use it under section 3.
Right. Because it's an integral part of the overall redevelopment area.
We just felt that more consistent with your consistent vision in the borough for this area,
sure,
dating back several decades, that it would be remiss on our part to not include it in the overall recovery and strategy plan.
To avoid your Swiss cheese approach, as we're talking about. Okay. Block 15, lot 12, 10 River Street, has a two-story residential structure that at the time of these photographs was vacant and boarded up.
Yes.
And again, you looked at because of its condition, you have, I think, A and D on that?
We did. We used E and A and D on that. And our pictures, what our pictures tried to do was the first picture on this property shows the fact that it's boarded up. The second picture shows that congratulations based on the bulkhead, and that's
not being utilized.
Value of $31,000. So the two photos there, the first one is meant to show that the structure is boarded up. The second one is meant to show what lovely real estate it is, and with an improvement value of only $31,000, are certainly being doing some more.
And you believe that, you know, designating this area as an area in need of redevelopment will contribute to the orderly and functional utilization of that overall area and its contribution to the community at large?
Yes, unequivocally.
And all of, I should do go back because I think all of the properties actually are, I think criterion H, which is the smart growth planning principles, apply to all of the entire areas.
I would say they probably apply to most of the
Okay.
Thank you. Questions? Board members?
I have a couple of questions.
Sure, of course.
All the properties, with the exception of one, appear to have the same owner.
Yes.
Is there any reason why this individual properties are all being selected for this process?
The individual is just happens to be the owner in this area that we studied. When we did the downtown, they were under diverse owner, and there are a few properties that are not owned by this owner. It just happens to be the city owns a substantial amount of property. The owner of the property was not a factor as to whether we included that or did not include that in the study. So the owner's name is there, just that's how we look up property records by block and lot, and they have the owner there. But the owners did not factor into our analysis one way or the other.
Are the taxes current? Is the center currently paying the taxes on these properties?
I'm not certain.
You had said you got if you went to the tax records, so you're not sure.
This is after the current. The tax
most of it, all one owner, part of the exception of one building.
Well,
all the taxes are paid.
Well, there's actually just there's
in the package I have.
Jesse Hallen and Sons, CJM Associates.
CJM has the same address as Jesse.
Yeah, but it's a different owner, just so that you know. It might be the same principles, right? And Icarus, right? Okay. I'll keep it.
Okay. And then there's been a, I'm not sure what stage, but there's a closed project out there for multifamily housing all along to this property. Letting this redevelopment have anything to do with that project?
There's nothing before us.
Not before us, but it's consented residents in the area.
Steve, this, what this does is it declares that area so that you can plan for the overall area. The governing body has not yet developed a redevelopment plan that may or may not you know, be in line with, I have no idea what they're looking to do there because it's not before us, but you know, I don't know, but it certainly gets people to the table so that they can discuss the proper development of that area.
That's why in my beginning remarks, I wanted to say what we were not here for, because sometimes that helps everybody understand what we are doing. And that's why I said, we're not here to talk about residential commercial. There is not a development program for this at this time. This is not a hearing to decide uses. I said, I'm sure everybody in the room probably has some great ideas as to what should go there on that screen. There will be another opportunity to do a redevelopment plan where we will talk about uses, and this just isn't the phase. I live in the area as well. I have the same rumors that you as
well. Well, no, they send out actual,
this is not the form. We're not here to talk about the uses for the property at this stage of the game yet.
I mean, the redevelopment plan as devised as that the town may come up with could be in line with that. I don't know. It's just, it gives the municipality and the board flexibility to kind of direct the development.
I understand our limits by what you read, but it's helpful to know what direction it's going.
Well, that shouldn't determine what our job is tonight.
Right.
Our job is to decide whether or not they fit the criteria that she read before.
Right, and at some future point, there will be an opportunity, if anybody is interested in the ultimate development of that, there will be notices in the paper, and there will be site plan approvals. There's a whole other phase of development approvals that entity needs to go through to develop that property. This just isn't the forum for that. We're just here to talk about, does this area overall meet the statutory criteria to designate an area in the development?
And I would, you know, I don't know that, but Mark can tell us, but I'm sure that the, you know, the governing body would not, you know, look at the redevelopment of that area in a vacuum. They're going to talk to the stakeholders and, you know, people involved when they're looking at a redevelopment plan.
Well, I was part of that committee that we determined which properties we thought would need redevelopment. I had no idea who owned what, and I couldn't care less who owned what. We looked at each property individually, determined whether it met the criteria to the group we came up with. So.
And if you look at the map of our study in the red outline area of properties under consideration, I think it really forms a very logical area of the boundaries along the Shrewsbury River, and it really takes advantage of some of the more underutilized ones. So I think it really, if you look at our maps and our report, I think you can really see that the lines were drawn quite logically with no regard for who did it and no property.
Any other board members have a question? Do we have another producer?
No.
No. Okay. If not, if anyone in the public have a question or a statement, please state your name and address for the record, sir.
I'm Mark Teichman, on the Surf Street.
Can you just spell your last name, sir?
Sure. T-E-I-C-H-M-A-N.
Thanks.
My concern about this, is with regards to eminent domain. And the decision that you make here tonight, is one step closer to the town having the power to take eminent domain of a property. So if all we're discussing is the criteria as to whether these properties meet this criteria, it seems like a very, unfortunately, minimal approach to the question of whether we should be doing this as a town.
You have a different forum to go to for that,
right?
And quite frankly, the responsibilities are kept separate for a reason.
Okay.
Because you have this board are the planners, and they're just looking at, we have an area of our town, the Shrewsbury River, which is a huge asset. It's being underutilized. It's not being developed, or it's not in a state of development right now, which is, beneficial to the town. And so that's, the board kind of looks at that and looks at that criteria that I went over. You probably want to go talk to the mayor and council, who are going to determine, even if everybody declares this as an area in need of redevelopment, doesn't mean that they have to go through with condemnation.
Right.
I mean, many do not, involve eminent domain. It's just they'll create a redevelopment area with certain redevelopment criteria and, might not ever have it, but it gives incentive to developers, to know what they can and can't do, to look at the whole, all of the redevelopment area as one big, nice area that they can, deal with as with a clean slate, basically, and look at the planning for it that way.
I heard rumors, hearsay, that the property owner has been pursuing environmental approvals from, I guess, DEP, not EPA, for a project. If that's the case, and the property owners are actively pursuing approvals to develop this property, and then the next step, obviously, would be to appear before this board with a proposal. If that's true, it seems that this is really premature. Now, if there is a process going on, let that process play out. Let the property owner come to this board with a proposal. It's not as if they're not doing anything to address this, the concerns about these properties.
Well, first off, I know Steve mentioned also, but the board really doesn't have knowledge of that. But what this actually does, it could be helpful to them because it allows them a redevelopment area and redevelopment plan, it can be developed with talking to all the state players and what would be best for this area, and it might actually make it much more streamlined for them.
Well,
I don't know that because I don't know what they're looking to do, and I don't want to because that's not before us. But, it's not necessarily an impediment. It can certainly help the redevelopment of that. That's the plan, is that it aids in the redevelopment.
Well, that's another concern. That it's helping the developer. Why not let the developer work within our ordinance rather than write a separate ordinance that would benefit the developer?
We're not writing ordinances.
Yeah, but this board.
Well, there will be a separate ordinance written as part of.
There'll be a redevelopment plan that's developed, and because your ordinances were drafted, and even though they update them, this gives you an opportunity and the town an opportunity to look at this area and to direct the type of development that it may want there. It might not help them. It might help them. It might not. I don't know because I don't know what they are planning. Again, it's not before us, but it gives the town flexibility to make better planning decisions.
I would, from my perspective, that the added flexibility being eminent domain, the power of eminent domain, that's...
Not necessarily.
That's not necessarily, but it's an awesome power. And if this is all basically one property owner, with the exception of one of the lots, I don't know if this is possible, but I would suggest to the board, approve this with the caveat that eminent domain cannot be used.
Okay. That's,
thanks.
Thank you. The board can certainly make recommendations.
Anyone else in the public? Nobody? Okay, the public portion is now closed. Discussion, board members?
It's all the criteria.
I can look forward. I personally look at every single building and they have to be doing something. You need to stimulate some growth. They're stagnant. I think we should approve this at this point and move forward.
Is that a motion?
Like a motion.
So that you're second. Okay, that you're adopting the redevelopment plan as proposed, and for the reasons set forth in the reports, that your recommendation to the governing body would be that, yeah, it was Dave's. The area, this area would be declared an area in need of redevelopment as set forth in the report prepared by Confone Consulting and Confone. Let's see. Thank you. Dated April 2017.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Cashmore?
It meets the criteria, so yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
DiGiulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DiCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
The other side, aren't you?
Thank you, Christine. Okay.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you, Justin.
It's all her.
Thanks, Justin. So we will send a copy and a letter.
Correct.
You have it.
Yep.
All right.
You need it?
Why don't we jump right to the application? We'll do the memorializations after.
Sure.
I was reading it. There we go. Let's just get them done.
I think we only have one, right, Kara?
Oh, okay. One what?
Resolution?
No, I gave you both of them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. On to the memorialization of Aspen Development Partners, 9 Atlantic Way. Anybody have any comments on the resolution or a motion?
I'll move it. I'll second that.
Do a roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Yes.
So
we're done with more information of the resolution? Yeah, you
were asking. We have motion on the floor for 9 Atlantic Way.
DiGiulio, yes. Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
DiGiulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DiCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexby?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
Memorialization Resolution 14 via RIPA, Morley. Block 32, Lot 15. Discussion or a motion?
I'll move it.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
DiGiulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DiCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
And this application...
We did Verizon by a letter because it was a capital project review. So we... I thought I sent that to you guys. And if I didn't...
Yeah, yeah,
oh, okay. But I didn't realize that we didn't have to do it again.
Moving on to Carl Seabright LLC, 26 New Street, Block 12, Lot 13. Good evening. This application was carried from February 25th.
Right, and at that time, we reviewed all the notices and
I hear you.
It's jurisdiction of the application.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Ford, Rick Rossi, on behalf of the applicant, Cole C. White LLC. The application before you this evening pertains to a property located, a single family residential property located at 26 New Street, not far from our hearing discussed. An existing structure that did suffer some significant damage as a result of Superstorm Sandy. The application seeks approval to demolish that existing structure, which is boarded up now and untenable, and to not only rebuild it, but also raise it so that it achieves what we find. The significantly undersized lot, both in terms of lot area as well as lot width, basically all around. So there are a number of existing variances that would be requested to be as part of this application to approve a new home. As we hear from the testimony, what's being proposed is basically a two-bedroom home, 1.5 baths, will be a significant second division also created property, much in keeping with the other properties in the area this season and concern.
Can I mark, I marked A1, the jurisdictional packet. A2, there was a survey that you submitted by your Canis and White gave September 2nd, 2016. And now, Ed O'Neill's here, but Matt, is Matthew Cronin? That's
here.
Matthew Cronin, okay. A3, architectural plans.
Right.
By Matthew. Dated revised 2/7/5/16.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Okay, that's A3. Okay.
And Terry, we have probably one additional exhibit. All of the exhibits that Mr. Cronin were referring to will be referring to are copies of the incident report.
That's
when you render
it. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. When you get to it, mark it. You want to mark it now?
Yeah, let's go ahead and
get to the pre-equipment. Okay. A4 is color rendering. What sheet is that?
Three of three.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, Mr. Redd, when you're about to give us the truth, full truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
Can you just state your name and spell your last name for the
Okay, Matt.
And if you are, just for the record.
I have been an architect licensed in the state of New Jersey for about 23 years.
Okay, thank you. Without any objection from the board, we'll accept his credentials.
Great, thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, Matt, if you would walk the board through what exists at the site, okay, and then we'll discuss the recording application. You can hand out a couple of photos, but I didn't have it with the application.
Okay. They might be in here, but I don't see them, so I'll just mark them.
A5, how many photos? It's two photos on one sheet. One sheet of two photos, and that'll be A5.
Yes.
And those two photos were taken by you? They were taken by me in the fall of 2015. That's as accurate as I can get. Okay. Go ahead. I'll start with the survey, your catch point survey, briefly. We're on the west end of the block, and first, we're on the front. It's a main block, 14 foot wide, and the widest, and about 3 foot yards. We are
We propose to raise or demolish this house. Right now, the among other things, the house was damaged in Superstar Sandy. In the area, just to get the numbers right here, we've got a baseline elevation of 8.8. The existing first floor finished floor is 5.7. We propose a finished floor of 11.8. And the text and porches will be at 11.47 with the top of the crawl space of 2.8. This will allow us to get some parking underneath, which I'll show whenever we get to the plan. Other than that, we've got some pre-existing variances that the planner will get into a little more, but we've got a spot area of 1,800 square feet required, will be 1,800.77. A lot with 25 foot minimum, we've got 14.32. Our lot depth is okay, it's 60.66, which 50 minimum is required. The front yard on New Street, the house complies, but the porch and decks do not comply. The house is at 8.4, we propose to get a 7, and the steps and the landing, as you can see on top of the photos from the northwest are right up on top of the property. On the inside, the front street side, we're at a 0 setback. We're right on the property line, and we propose not to change that. On the east side, we're at 0.7 feet, or roughly 8 inches. The rear, we've got a rear front yard, which would be on Surf Street, which is 15 foot minimum. Existing there, it's 10 foot to the porch, 16 foot to the house. We propose 4 foot to a deck and 13 foot to the house. The building height, which is a proposed expansion of the previous variance. The building height, we're allowed 35 feet and 2.5 stories. Currently, the house is made 22 feet and 2 stories. We propose 31.33 feet and 2 stories.
Yeah, because the minimum, it's an undersized lot, right?
Yes, yeah.
So you would be allowed 30 feet plus 3. You're still under that.
Right.
30 feet is permitted in the zone 5. You have a conforming lot. Because you're undersized, we cut it down, but the minimum or the worst you can do is 30 feet plus the right. So, but you're under that, so.
Got a building coverage existing, and there's a type 1 on my sheet here. The sheet says 63%, but actually the existing is at 57%. What the proposed is correct, it's 64%, where 50% is allowed. Lot coverage, 70% maximum. Existing is 83%, we propose 88%. The gross floor area, 880 square foot minimum, 998 square foot existing, and we propose 1,173 square feet.
How much is your proposed, 11?
1,173. On the sheet 203, I have the tree floor plans. The ground level is going to be we propose a masonry wall with an overhead water bath to get two tandem parking spaces in. We propose an entrance off the sidewalk with a porch to a cutback stair to a landing on the north side, and then on the south side, stairs coming up to the rear deck. On the first floor, which would be the elevation on the front floor, we would come up to the top of the stairs, come in the front door to the living room, which is 12 foot 10 by 20 foot 4, a small half bath, a small room closet, and then a 15 and a half foot kitchen to the back deck, and then the stairs back down. Upstairs, we've got a stair hall bathroom and two 12 foot 10 by 11 foot bedrooms, one on each side, a small deck on the south facing. Around the information. This is the colored version of what you've got in front of you, sheet 3 of 3. We propose, this is the house is 13 foot 10 wide. That's what we've got, and that's really what we're proposing. We propose horizontal lap siding, asphalt chain roof.
It's not on wheels, is it?
You're in the car that we got.
The materials will be consistent with the neighborhood. We've got a small roof porch over the front door there. We've got a front entrance into the ground level as well. On the front side, our long elevation, we've got dormers and the dimensions of the elevation. The windows at the ground level, and we propose to do something with the ground level material. I show a thin brick facade. We're not going to use real brick, we just don't have room for it. But some kind of something besides just a block, 60 feet on the street front. My client's got some ideas that we just haven't clicked on it yet, but it will be something other than just porch walk. On the south side, we've got our two decks and our 9 foot wide by 7 foot overhead door. We've got the AC condenser on a bracket hanging outside over the stairs. And then on our east side, where we are roughly 7 inches off the property line, we've got no windows, and we will most likely have to use the exterior sheetrock for the outside sheeting because we're right on the property line. The meter is just under 5 feet away. He's got some windows there, which is fine as far as any building codes or some codes.
And Matt, the garage on the ground level, did you say that you can put two bars under there?
The house is 42 long, so yes, it's a smaller company.
So, and we essentially for that interview, because my statement is that we're talking about either three or on the
correct. And there's no off street parking now?
There is not.
Okay. Exactly.
Board member, questions?
I only have a concern to the air conditioning on the wall, which is that's on how far is that from the property line? Good. Not only 7 from the property line.
Yeah, a couple inches behind that.
That air conditioning unit is going to be sitting right in front of the next door neighbor's window, isn't it?
Well, what I actually saw, and I haven't done this by my client yet, was in looking at the neighborhood house. I've been looking at it as it relates to our elevations, and I took a step back and actually went to the trap rock properties. So look far away, and they've cut a hollow out of their roof and put their condenser up there.
I know that.
Okay. I think it's a good idea, and that I recommend that to my client as far as getting it. I'm not a big fan of the bracket, but I just like
no, I that doesn't bother me much, but it looks like it might actually be right in front of their bedroom window. That would be my only concern.
We will figure something out so you can get it away from that.
And the owners of the property has been in discussion with the neighboring property owners to work together with them.
Anyone else?
A lot with a little.
I don't like it.
Very difficult stuff to work with.